Yeah, thank you guys for coming out today, having this evening of fellowship with, you know, fathers in different stages of parenthood, and you know, I'm new to it and just learning with you guys. We're blessed up to have Jay Shaw, you know, our church's family pastor here, and we're excited to hear his message on based on prayer. And let's give a round of applause for him coming up.
All right, good evening. Well, let me open us in prayer. Father, we just stop to thank you for this day that you've given us. We thank you for the fellowship that we've enjoyed around the table tonight. We thank you most of all for giving us your son Jesus to die on the cross for our sins, to forgive us of our sins, to make a way to you, Lord. And so we thank you for that. Thank you for our salvation. Thank you for the blessings we have in Christ. And Lord, I pray that you bless our time tonight, that we would benefit from hearing your word, and that we would become better men and fathers through it. Praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, like Michael said, my name is Jay Shaw. I think I know most of you. Met the one that doesn't go to Briarwood, met tonight. So, but it's good to be here. I've been on staff since 2000, served in the youth ministry, and just recently took a role as the family pastor here. So still working with youth, but now also working with children and nursery. So it's been a lot of fun. We are going to be talking about prayer. And so, like Michael said, I want to start out, you know, just general parenting, but story. So when I was in eighth grade, I decided to try out for the track team, and had never ran track, wasn't in any shape, remembered having to run the mile when I was in elementary school, and that was the day that I dreaded the most, is having to run that mile and getting the running cramp as I was running, and was terrible at it. But for some reason, I wanted to run track, had some friends that were doing it, went out, made the team. I think everybody made the team, so it wasn't a big accomplishment, but went out, made the team. I didn't know that everybody made the team, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened. And it was, we just began to run. That's what we did every day after school. We'd get out there, we'd run half a mile, a mile, laps around the track, and lo and behold, after maybe 2 weeks, the mile wasn't that hard anymore. After a month, I could run 2 miles. I could run 3 miles. I could run, you know, sprints and not get as tired. The longer that I ran track, the more in shape I got and the better I got. And that's generally what happens in life. The more you do something, the better you get at it. Well, then comes parenting. I don't know about you, but the way that I feel in my parenting, and I'm early on, my oldest is 13, and then I've got a 10-year-old, I really feel like the more that I do it, the less, I'm just not as good as I thought I would be after doing it for 13 years. And so I don't know if that's just me, but as I've talked to some other parents, it seems like that's pretty consistent. Different than anything else in life. The more you practice, the better you get. The more you practice parenting, the worse you seem to be at it. And I think that's God reminding us our desperate need of Him. And parenting is always throwing in little twists and turns and can't predict it. And so keeps us looking to the Lord and relying on the Lord, which I'm thankful for. I remember when we had our first, walking out of the hospital and saying, looking at my wife Allison and saying, you know, it was harder to get a driver's license than it was to walk out with a child, with a soul in our possession. And that was the truth. We didn't know anything about parenting. We didn't babysit growing up. The nurses came in and asked us, our first child has been in this world maybe 6 or 8 hours, and asked us if we changed the diaper yet. And we said, no, we thought you were going to do that. And no, that's y'all's job. Y'all are the parents. And we changed it and put it on backwards. We knew nothing. We went home and we had this new baby that we knew nothing about how to parent it. I've always thought we've got premarital counseling. We really need pre-parental counseling. That would have helped us a ton. Nobody really told us what to prepare for. But what a blessing, what a privilege it is to be a parent. What a blessing it is to be a father. It's really overwhelming. It's a huge responsibility. But God has entrusted us men as husbands to our wives and as fathers. And God never gives us something that he's not going to equip us to do. And I have to remind myself of that on a daily basis. Paul David Tripp says this. He said, God never calls you to a task without giving you what you need to do it. And he never sends you without going with you. And I think that's something good to hold on to as we think about this stewardship we have of these children that God has given us, that God is going to equip us to parent them. And they're all, each one of them are very different in their own way and have their own unique challenges. But God is going to equip us to do that. Well, as we think about parenting, you know, we have a powerful weapon that most parents, including myself, don't take full advantage of. We use it occasionally, but not consistently. We rely on it in desperate moments, but not on a daily basis like we should. It's this secret weapon is this powerful weapon is undervalued. It's underestimated. It's underutilized. We know it's there. We believe that it works, yet we don't use it as often as we should. This secret weapon never runs out of ammunition. It never breaks. It never shoots a dud. It's not very complex to use. You don't have to master it to use it correctly. When it's used, it always works, and it never comes up empty. And what's that secret weapon? It's prayer. That powerful weapon that is very underutilized and underestimated, at least in my life, is prayer. It's so simple, yet we don't believe in its power. We don't take hold of it like we should. Most of the time when you ask the question, how many of y'all could do better in your prayer life? Almost everybody raises their hand. And it's not out of humility, it's out of conviction usually, right? How many of us are where we need to be, want to be in our prayer life? Most of us say, I'm not. I need to pray more. I need to pray more regularly. I need to believe in prayer more and have faith in my prayers. But it's so simple and basic. Reverend Barker, the story of Reverend Barker, he was asked to come join a group that was at another church, like a church plant or something, and they wanted to kind of pick his brain about how he had gotten Briarwood to such a healthy place and such spiritual vitality. And they asked him, you know, the question, what plans did you have? How did you build the church? What did you do? And they kind of expected this grand answer to this huge question. He just goes, prayer. And I'm imagining them just going, and he just goes, prayer. And that's such a Reverend Barker answer, but he believed in the power of prayer, and that's really what he built his ministry off of, was prayer. He prayed all the time. Well, do we believe in the power of prayer? And do we pray? Do we pray like we should for our children? Kent Hughes, who I love, Kent Hughes, love all of his commentary, says this, indeed, the greatest single thing that parents can do for the children is to regularly offer loving, fervent, informed, detailed prayers on their behalf. But that's the greatest thing that a parent can do. Prayer is really one of the most essential ingredients in parenting. Not the only ingredient, but it's essential. So if you have a recipe, there are certain things that if you leave out, that recipe is not going to taste right. There are other things that are maybe farther on down the list, like basil or some spice, and if you leave out, recipe will still probably taste okay, it will come out okay. But it's not maybe an essential ingredient. Well, prayer is an essential ingredient in our parenting. It has to be. John Bunyan says this. He says, you can do more than pray after you pray. So as a parent, you can do more than pray after you prayed, but he says, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. That's a great statement. You can do more than pray after you prayed, but you cannot do more than pray until you have prayed. And basically, prayer needs to be what we do first. It needs to be the foundation in everything we do, and especially in our parenting. So what do we want most for our children? We want them to love the Lord. We want them to know the Lord. Whatever age or understanding they have, we want them to know the Lord and to love the Lord. And that's why we need prayer, because that is out of our control. That is the job of the Holy Spirit. That is something that we cannot create within them. We can model what it means to be a Christian. We can teach them the Word. We can influence them, but we cannot make them love the Lord. We cannot turn their hearts to the Lord. That's when we have to pray. Nancy Guthrie, who is just awesome, I've got a book that I want to share with y'all. She says, I need the constant reminder. She wrote a book, Praying Through the Bible for Your Kids. I'll talk about that later, but she says, I need the constant reminder that while I have influence and responsibility, I don't have control over my child or everything about his or her world. While I can teach my child the scriptures, I can't be the Holy Spirit in my child's life. While I can confront simple patterns that need to change, I cannot generate spiritual life in my child that will lead to lasting change. Only the Holy Spirit can do that. At this point in parenting, I recognize that the things I want most for my child are the things God, only God can do. And I want to be faithful and persistent in asking Him to do them. And so we pray. So Jesus is such a great model. So what I wanted to do for the rest of our time is just quickly look at the model of Jesus and just His prayer and the great high priestly prayer. And then just some starting points for prayer. And all of y'all are in different parts of your parenting and different seasons of parenting. Some of your grandparents, and maybe you can pass them, and you're still praying for your kids, and maybe you can pass this on to your kids so they can do this with their kids. But first I wanted to look at that the model of Jesus and then these starting points. So if you have your Bibles, turn to John 17, and I'm just going to highlight a couple things. You know, the disciples asked Jesus, show us how to pray. Why? Because He was the expert. You wouldn't go ask Michael Jordan, show me how to sew. No, you'd ask him to show me how to play basketball. Right? So what did the disciples want Jesus to show them? Show me how to pray, because He was the expert. He knew how to pray. And he prayed regularly. Well, we see Him praying again here in John 17, the great high priestly prayer. And we know that even though Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, He's still praying. He's interceding for us, His children, even now. So He's always praying for us. And I think that in itself is a great model. But look at the high priestly prayer, John 17, verse 1. It says, when Jesus had spoken these words, He lifted up His eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Since You have given Him authority over all flesh to give eternal life to all whom You have given Him. And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent. And so what did he begin to pray for? One, that God would get the glory, but two, he prays for his children, for the apostles and all of his children, that they would have salvation, that they would know Christ, that they would have eternal life. And so we follow that prayer. We pray for our children to know Christ, to have eternal life. And you go down to verse 11, and there's so much in this prayer that we can model in our parenting for our own children. But he says in verse 11 and 12, and I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to You, Holy Father. Keep them in Your name, which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as We are one. While I was with them, I kept them in Your name, which You have given Me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost, except the son of destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. So he prayed that his children would be preserved, that God would preserve their faith, so they would know Christ, and then that they would be preserved in their faith. And then in verse 13, he prays that they would have joy. He says, but now I'm coming to You, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have My joy fulfilled in themselves. That's there's a lot of ways that people seek joy in our world. Well, Jesus obviously understood that true joy comes from knowing Christ. And what a great prayer for our children, that they would find joy in Christ and Christ alone. And the things of the world would not be the things they seek for joy. Those things can bring some happiness in their life, but true joy, they would seek the Lord. And then in verse 15, he says, I do not ask that You take them out of the world, but that You keep them from the evil world, that keep them from the evil one. So he prays for protection. So he prays for salvation. He prays that they would be preserved. He prays that they would have joy. He prays for their protection. And then verse 17, he says, they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He prays for their growth, that they would become more like the Lord. And then in verse 23, he prays, he says this, I in them and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and love them even as you love me. So he prays that they would be a witness in the world. Prays that the world would see these that would believe in him, and they would point them to Christ. And so this is a great model of prayer. Just as you, I would encourage you, take this out and pray this for your children. God, Jesus is praying this for his followers, his spiritual children. So Jesus is a great model. He prayed. He prayed regularly. He prayed fervently. He prayed consistently. He was in dependence on the Father at all times. And then these are some things that he would have said, these are the most important things. These are the things that before my death I'm going to pray for my children. What are some starting points for prayer? I would say, you know, don't get overwhelmed in this. It is important to pray. I mean, we can read all the parenting books and all the help books that we want to, but we have to pray. We need to pray. But we're busy. It's hard to pray. It's a discipline. Most of the time when I lay my head down on my pillow, I don't want to pray. I'm too tired to pray. Most of the time when I get up, there's a lot of things that I feel like I need to do before I pray that feel like they're more important. Sometimes I doubt that my prayers are even being heard, or I don't think about prayer. I just go and try to solve the problem myself and be the solution. And so I don't pray as I want to. So what are some starting points? I would say, we've got three, but I want to say this. Don't be overwhelmed in this. You can start small. You can keep it simple. The goal really is to be a man and a father who prays regularly, consistently, and fervently. But we can grow in that. We're not going to start out by being, praying 5 hours a day. I heard a story of a man in our church, Glenn Draper, who I love. If y'all know him, heard him teach, he's memorized the whole New Testament. And his family says that he, when they go on vacation, he goes and will take some time, from the family, and they won't see him for a couple of hours. And when he comes back, they realize he's been praying. He's taking a couple of hours to pray. Well, that's overwhelming, and maybe some of you do that. But when you have a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old or a 5 and a 2-year-old, just getting away to take a shower is a miracle in itself. So where do we start? I would say start. You don't have to start with 5 hours of prayer. Just start praying. Start praying regularly. Start praying consistently. Get it as a discipline in your life. Martin Luther says this. It's pretty interesting. He says, look to it that you do not try to do all of it. Do not try to do too much, lest your spirit grow weary. Besides, a good prayer mustn't be too long. Do not draw it out. Prayer ought to be frequent and fervent. That's encouraging to me. that Martin Luther is saying, don't try to do it all. Be fervent and be frequent in your prayer. Pray. You don't have to have long prayers. We just want to have good prayers. We want to have regular prayers. We want to have authentic prayers. And so what are some starting points? Three things. Pray for your children, pray over your children, and pray with your children. So I want to give some suggestions for each of those, and then just a real easy starting point for each of them. And I'll do that at the end of each of them. So pray for your children. I think that's the most obvious. That us consistently and desperately pleading with the Lord to work in the hearts of our children. So what are some kind of suggestions there? One, pray for spiritual things more than you pray for temporal things. There is nothing wrong with praying for the temple. In Jesus' prayer, give us this day our daily bread. There are some temporal things that Jesus was praying for, but we want to be all about praying for them for their spiritual needs. Yes, pray that they make the team. Pray that they make friends. Pray that they get a good grade. Pray that they exceed in a sport. Those are good things to pray about, but major on their heart. Pray for their heart. Pray for the things that will last for eternity. So pray, this is still part of praying for your children. Pray with your wife for your children. That is, I think, just so important. As we lead our wives, an easy way to do that is just spending a little bit of time each day praying with them. Obviously, we want to pray without them, too. Pray always. Pray in all situations, but bring your wife in and lead her in prayer as you pray for yourself and for your children. Pray at set times and pray at unset times. Have a time each day where you pray for your kids. When you get up, dinner, or at night before you go to bed, if you want to do all of that, and you have three set times, that's fine, but have a set time where you pray for your kids, and then have unset times. Just be sensitive to be praying for them throughout the day. And again, it doesn't have to be long prayers, just real simple sentences as you're praying and thinking about them. And then I would say pray scripture. Pray scripture for them. That's so important. That as you, scripture is really our guide in prayer. So get the scripture out and pray that through them. So what's the starting point? If you're going to do one thing, I would say pray before bed with your wife for your kids. And if it's 5 minutes, 5 minutes is better than 0 minutes. But just commit to that. If it's not bed, a meal or at breakfast or in the morning when you get up, but pray once a day with your wife for your kids by name. And I would encourage you to use scripture to do that. This is an incredible resource, and I'm just not knowledgeable enough of the Bible to just pick out 365 verses that I could pray for and have a different one each day. But Nancy Guthrie is, and she wrote this little book, and it just has a day that of prayers you can pray for your children and using scripture, and I think it's awesome. So, starting point for the number one praying with your kids is pick one time a day, pray with your wife, and pray for each of your kids, and get a guide to help you over that. So pray with your kids. Secondly, pray for your kids. There's something special about praying over someone, looking at them, touching them, and kind of engaging your senses as you pray. I think that's important as you pray in general. One of the, I am so ADD, so if I sit in a chair and try to pray, I am awful on 100 different things in 5 seconds. And that just doesn't work for me. I have to either get on my knees, get uncomfortable, or go on a prayer walk. And you would think that would distract me more, but it actually helps me because I can look at things and thank the Lord for His creation, and it just engages more of my senses with the Lord. And I think that's what happens when you pray over your kids, is you look at them and you touch them and you feel them and putting your senses to prayer. And that can be done when they're awake. It can be done when they're sleeping. You can take one of these verses and pray it over their children. Maybe they have a life verse that you can pray over them. Pray important truths that you want them to know and understand. Pray that over them. Pray that God would help them understand what it means to be saved, what it means to be sanctified, what it means to glorify the Lord. Stephen Bunn, I remember him saying that he would pray over all of his boys, and he would pray deep theological terms. And he was like, I was hoping osmosis would kind of sit in, and they would just soak it up and soak it in. But he said, I wanted to pray deep theological things that I want them to understand. I would just pray that over them. And so that can just be a great exercise to just pray over your children. So what's the starting point? There would be, if you don't have a life verse for your child, get a life verse, something that you want. Maybe you already have one. Maybe it's something you read at their baptism. But get a life verse and commit to praying that life verse over them when they're, once a month, when they're in bed. And just do that. Take your wife and pray that over them. If you have grown children, Bruce, I'm sure they don't want you coming and praying over them when they're asleep, but still pray that verse for your children. And then third and finally, pray with your children. think this is so important. We pray with them, we pray over them, but praying with them is a powerful thing. It is so powerful because it models how to pray. It shows them how to pray. It gives you an opportunity to show them how to pray. It shows them how to pray with reverence, but also with intimacy. That's hard. It's hard to know how to talk to God in a way that God wants us to talk to Him. Because He's holy, 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 yet He's our loving Father. He's our friend. And so that's a hard thing. It needs to be modeled. What to say and how to say it. They learn that when you just pray with them. So at a meal, before bed, but engaging them in prayer, that they can see that prayer is a conversation with God. Prayer is when my dad talks to the Lord, and they can see that models. It also models what they can pray about. So you pray when there's a need. Hey, let's pray about that. Somebody's sick, or you're dealing with a sin in your life, or you're anxious, or you're having a hard time trusting what God is doing, or there's a physical need. You have a test tomorrow, or you have a game. Let's pray together. Let me pray for you. And why don't you pray too, and invite them to pray. My youngest daughter is very afraid of storms. And so she always wants us to come pray with her, and we love that, but we always come back and say, we want you to pray now. And so she gets to hear us pray, and then she gets to pray, and we can help her understand that. So models what to pray about, a need, a sickness. But also, it models that we really need to pray about everything. We need to pray to thank God for the blessings that He's given us. We need to pray to ask God when we need help, but we also need to pray and thank God for the blessings He's given us. So Will just stopped sometimes, and just a few months ago we were eating ice cream, and we just said, let's just thank the Lord that He's given us ice cream. And we just all stopped and just thanked the Lord that He gave us taste buds and He gave us ice cream, that He didn't have to do that. And so it's just a way to model. You pray for the big things in life, but pray for the small things in life. God has given us health and taste buds and all these things, and we ought to thank Him for those. You pray in moments. Just capture those moments where there's something going on and prayer needs to be had. This is a small thing, but my daughter was selling coupon books, and I would drop her off and in the neighborhood and go to back to my house and give her about 30 minutes, and I'd come back and just check on her. And the first time this is probably the third day we were out, she was selling coupon books for a Washington, D.C. trip. I dropped her off probably 30 minutes, drove up, and she had her head down walking on the sidewalk, and I drove up, and I went, and she was, and said, what happened? She's like, nobody bought one. I'm 30 minutes, and my back hurts. She's carrying all her books in her book bag. My back hurts. I'm discouraged. And I just said, have you prayed about it? And she said, no, will you pray? And I said, let's pray together. But you've got to pray. And so she goes, God, help. And I said, all right, who are you talking to right now? And she goes, God. I was like, okay, you've got to remember that when you pray. You're talking to God, the creator of the universe. And so really talk to God and ask Him to help you, give you strength, and maybe ask Him to help you sell these coupon books. And she prayed that, and I said, why don't we ask God to do something extra and just see what happens? And so she just said, God, would you maybe give me a donation? And I was like, Lord, please, you're going to answer this prayer yes or no or not yet. And so I leave. I come back 30 minutes later, and she had the biggest smile on her face. I sold 3 books, and some drunk guy gave me $100. I'm like, what? Well, hold up. And so I said, tell me the story. And she said, well, sold 3 books, and I went to this house right over there, and I got answered, and he was drunk. And I was like, well, how do you know what somebody drunk even looks like? Because she hasn't been around that yet. And she said, well, somebody was in the back going, don't give that girl $100. You're drunk. You need to, you've been drinking too much. Don't give her $100. We live in a very safe neighborhood. But this guy was drunk, and he said, I'm going to give this girl $100. She's out here working hard. And so she got back in the car and immediately said, God answered my prayer. I said, that's right. And so just capturing that little moment with prayer, but it's so easy just to forget that and not to use that as a teaching moment. But then we wanted to make sure we responded with a thank you prayer. So what do you do when somebody gives you something? Do you just walk away? And so she said, no, I need to thank the Lord. And so just capturing those moments, praying with your children. So what's the starting point? Pick a time when you're with your child consistently on a daily or weekly basis, and just use that time to pray with them. Maybe it's we pray on the way to school. That's always a time to pray, and we pray at that time. But just pick one time and say, every time I'm in this moment, we're going to have 5 minutes of prayer. Hey, what can I pray for you about? Let's pray together. And that'll help you model what prayer is, why do we do it, what do we pray about. And you can build on all of those things, but I think those are good starting points. And then be sensitive to other moments where you can pray with your child with petitions or thankfulness. Well, I'll close on the story because I'm way out of time. I've gone late. Sorry, Michael. St. Augustine was born in AD 354 and was known as one of the greatest early church fathers. His writings heavily influenced Thomas Aquinas, Martin Luther, and John Calvin. Much of our Reformed doctrine was actually attributed to a lot of his works. But as a young man, he lived in a very immoral lifestyle. Sexual exploitations, was in an affair with a woman for many years, got engaged in sexual philosophies, and he became a Christian at age 33. And in his autobiography, Confessions, this is what he says. He says, "But you," and this he quotes Psalm 144:7, "sent down your help from above and rescued my soul from the depths of this darkness because my mother, your faithful servant, wept to you for me, shedding more tears for my spiritual death than other mothers shed for the bodily death of a son. For in her faith and in the spirit which she had from you, she looked on me as dead. You heard her and did not despise the tears which streamed down and watered the earth in every place where she bowed her head in prayer." Praying for our children is so powerful. And we just pray that God will bring them to Himself, that He would bring them to Himself, and that He would work in their hearts. But they may be like St. Augustine. It may be years before they came to Christ. But look at all what St. Augustine has done. Look at the impact he's had. And it's because he had a praying mother. We want to be praying fathers. We want to lead our praying mothers, our praying wives in that. And so it's the most powerful weapon in our parenting arsenal. Let's use it. All right, let me pray for us. Father, thank you for this time. Help us to, Lord, just understand the power of prayer and to embrace it and to use it. Lord, the psalmist says that you bend your ear to us, that you want to hear us, that you want us to pray. You want us to lift up our families to you. And so help us to do that. Help us to do that better. Help us to be intercessors for our children, Lord, and that we would just start somewhere and build this as a discipline in our lives. Our children desperately need it. So help us, Lord. Help us to do that. For your glory, we pray. Amen.